Welcome to the NGEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, a terrified Biden administration urges Canada to use federal powers to smash the Freedom Convoy anti-mandate protests. The Biden administration urged Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's government on Thursday to use its federal powers to end the truck blockade Freedom Convoy by Canadians protesting the country's COVID-19 restrictions. As the bumper-to-bumper demonstration forced auto plants on both sides of the border to shut down or scale back production. Well, how do you like that? Suddenly, protesting in the streets is not acceptable. Even though you supported 6 months' worth of riots by Antifa and Black Lives Matter to the tune of $2 billion in 2020. That's pretty funny, Joey. That's pretty funny. Isaiah 3:12 says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, the Freedom Convoy is growing, spreading to nations like New Zealand, getting ready to come to America next month. And it's striking fear and terror into the hearts of world leaders who are praying desperately to their gods that this doesn't become a thing. Oops, too late. Has the New World Order, after so much success here on day 697 of 15 days to flatten the curve, finally met their match in the citizen armies of the Freedom Convoy? Well, I don't want to burst your bubble, but no, they have not met their match, and indeed have already planned for this eventuality. When you remember that all this we are seeing is powered by the rising spirit of Antichrist, you'll begin to see it for what it is and not for what you wish it was. We told you 2 years ago that lockdowns would come to an end, COVID-19 would eventually fade into the background, but the structures that were put in place when the coup began were going to be permanent, and they are. Even now, mRNA vaccines are being added to the required list for children's standard vaccinations, and mRNA is going to pop up in all fields of medicine. HIV is once again in the spotlight. You remember HIV, right? They couldn't come up with a vaccine for that in 40 years, but now they think they figured it out. How amazing is that? It's a Christmas miracle. I love the Freedom Convoy, I truly do. My dad was a second lieutenant in the U.S. Army Air Force in World War II. He served during the Korean conflict. I love America, and I'm so grateful to the men and women of the Marines, the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, the Coast Guard, the Space Force. I'm so grateful for our first responders, for the police, and for the paramedics, and for the firemen. But Bible prophecy tells me that the New World Order is going to come out of this unfazed and stronger than ever. Today in the Prophecy News Podcast, we bring you the Freedom Convoy as they battle the forces of the New World Order. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. God, we thank you for waking us up today. We thank you for all these that you've gathered here. We're so grateful, Lord. You put food on the table. You put clothes on our back. You put a roof over our head. You give us jobs to do. You let us serve you, Lord. Your word says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, talking about men and women of the United States Armed Forces and indeed of any military around the world. 2 Timothy 2:1. Paul says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If you're saved today, you're a soldier in the army of the Lord. Read Revelation 19 sometime. You want to see where you are in Revelation 19? Well, you're at the top of the page. Let us rejoice and be glad and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. There you are. Let's see where else you are. Ah, here you are. Here you are, down in Revelation 19, starting in verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, that's Jesus, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Sounds like he's getting ready to go to battle. Well, he is, and he's going to bring his soldiers with him. Revelation 19:14. This is me and you. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Amen, and Lord of Lords, Amen, that we may please him who has chosen us to be a soldier. Ron says, huge praise report. We all have been praying for Griffin Voorhees for quite some time. He is the son of my lifelong friend, Steve. The Voorhees family is now smiling because Griff was released from the hospital yesterday. Griff's wife, Ashlyn, and Ron, if you could post that picture of Griffin and his wife, please post that in the chat room now. Griff's wife, Ashlyn, posted this update on Facebook. Today was by far the best day ever. Home at last. Thank you for all of your prayers, love, and support during the last 2 months. We will be going to outpatient therapy for a little while and home oxygen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. For your miraculous healing of Griffin Voorhees and comfort and peace for all of us. And we rejoice with the Voorhees family and with Ron, who brought that to our attention so that we could pray for him. And we'd love to see prayer get answered like that. It's an amazing, amazing thing, and I never get tired of seeing that. Jeanette says, Patty sent me this about her dad. He has Parkinson's very badly. He also has a bad cold. They thought it was COVID, but it wasn't. Nurse came to assess dad, said that he will probably go home to be with Jesus in the next 24 hours. And we rejoice anytime a born-again, saved Christian goes home to be with the Lord. That is shouting time. But it's also a little sad for those who are left behind. It's also a little sad for the loved ones who don't get to go with them. You know, D.L. Moody said this, talking about his own impending death. D.L. Moody said, one day you'll hear that D.L. Moody is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher, that's all, out of this old clay tenement and into a house that is immortal. A body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint. A body fashioned like unto his glorious body. So we pray for Patty D's dad. And we pray that his homegoing will be with much comfort and love, and God will give him assurance of his salvation in that moment, and that his very death will be a testimony. And we pray for those left behind, like Patty and the rest of the family, for comfort. Lori is asking prayers for Liam. He's improved since yesterday, but he's developing a cough. He has a fever, and it looks like he has COVID. Hasn't taken a test yet, but he certainly has most of the symptoms. Please remember Liam in your prayers today. Roy says, Canadian province of Ontario, cities like Ottawa, Windsor, Toronto, are in Ontario, are about to declare a state of emergency. Well, what do you know about that? Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we come before you, Lord, and we are glad and we are grateful, and we ask you to work and move in our lives, Lord. And we're getting ready for that blessed hope. We're looking forward to it. And we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Be with us, Lord, today as we talk about the events of the world. Be with us, Father God. Lead us and guide us. Give us courage in these times, these end times that we find ourselves in. And give us a renewed compassion for lost people. Give us a renewed desire to send out Bibles around the world. Give us a renewed desire to hand out gospel tracts and to be a witness where we live, across America and around the world. And Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we come before you, and we ask you to do that for ourselves that we cannot do. Lord, we admit that we are a needy people, and we need you, Lord. We don't need drugs or alcohol or fornication. We don't need rock music. We don't need Hollywood. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. And we invite you, Father God, as always, to come here and have full sway. And if there be one listening today who is lost, we pray, Father God, that something would be said and done to lead a lost soul to you. Irad Bersh in Uganda. He's in the chat room right now. A prayer request for my wife and I to recover from malaria. And our friend Marinda Schaefer to be well in Texas. Irad Bersh and his wife, they live in Uganda, and they've been listening for quite some time. Irad has been listening for a number of years now. And he just wrote to say that him and his wife, Elizabeth, they just got married a few weeks ago. Beautiful bride, handsome husband, and they have malaria. And so we lift up Irad and his wife, and we pray for Marinda Schaefer as well. And Lord, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, as we look at these end times events, let us not look at them with fear and trembling, but with excitement and confidence, Lord. The Apostle Paul said, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able." Amen, Lord. "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And Father God, as we see that day approaching for us, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, Lord, we're excited. And give us jobs to do. Give us a testimony which cannot be impeached. Give us the victory, Father God, on the battlefield for you. And we thank you, God, and we ask it all for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. We serve a God who answers prayer. And I was talking with Lori this morning, and I was telling her how amazing it is, this prayer list that we have. And we go over the full list every Wednesday night and every Sunday morning. How amazing is it that this prayer list that we have, people around the world write to us every day. "I need you to pray for me. Put me on the list. Put my husband, my wife, my son, my daughter, my aunt, my uncle, my neighbor, my boss, my employee." I have put many people on this list. My three brothers and my son are on the list right now. I'm getting ready to add my youngest daughter, Megan, to the list. She's getting ready to go to England for Bible school. And I want to pray that God will bless her efforts and her time there. Just bought her a new King James Bible yesterday. And so this prayer list that we have, it's so important that we are a praying people. It is so important that we start every program with prayer. We can't start every program with the full list because it takes over 30 minutes to pray for the list. But we do the full list every Wednesday night, every Sunday night. And if you will send an email to Jeanette@nowtheendbegins.com or just reach out to her in the chat room, she will put you on the mailing list and you'll get the notes for all the programs. You'll get the prayer list. You'll get everything. And every Wednesday and Sunday, we do the entire list, Monday, Friday, and Sunday night. We just do whatever the emergency, immediate needs of people are. And I thank God that this ministry is a praying ministry. I don't know of any other podcast, and I keep saying this, but I'm just so grateful. I don't know of any other podcast that starts in real prayer and lifts each other up during a news podcast. Maybe other people do it and I just don't know about it. But I am so glad and I am so grateful that we do it. Jose just put a message into the chat room. He says, "Greetings to all my brethren in Christ and to you, Jeffrey, from the country of Belize. May God continue showering blessings upon you in the ministry always. Please pray for all my family in Belize and around the world." Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So, as long as I'm in charge of the podcast and the broadcast and the Sunday service and the Bible studies, they are always going to begin with prayer. As we lift each other up, we pray for lost people. We encourage each other. This is what New Testament Christianity, rightly divided under the Apostle Paul, is all about. And I'm just glad that we do it. It makes me so grateful to be part of the NTEB family around the world. All right, and with that, we must get started with today's podcast. We're talking about, of course, we're talking about the Freedom Convoy. You know, when the Freedom Convoy came to Ottawa, the King of Canada, the man that they call Coward 19, oh boy, the King of Canada, Justin Trudeau, immediately developed COVID and had to be whisked away with his family to an undisclosed location for isolation purposes. And that makes me laugh, because what he was really doing is he was pooping in his pants at the thought of hundreds of trucks rolling up to his palatial palace and demanding freedom for the Canadian people. Whoever would have thought that it would be the nation of Canada, of all places, whoever thought that it would be the people of Canada who would be standing up, parking their trucks across the street and saying, "No more, no more." And we thank God for our brothers and sisters up in Canada who are not allowing themselves to be silenced and who are not afraid of the tyrannical government that has been forced upon them. And we have lots of listeners in Canada. We have lots of street preachers in Canada, people like Paul and Peggy Caulfield and Jeffrey Soposinek and Greg Scott and Adrian Breda. We have a lot of Canadian street preachers that we support up in Canada. And I'm praying that they're able to get some gospel tracks out while everything is all shut down. But make no mistake about it, the King of Canada, Justin Trudeau, King Turdo, he has come to a day of reckoning. And even within the Canadian Parliament, he's getting a beating. Take a listen to this.
One person is responsible for this mess, and that's the Prime Minister.
That's right.
He caused this mess by attacking Canadian citizens and taking away their freedoms. The rest of the world is moving on. Other countries all around the world are lifting restrictions. Provinces across the country are doing exactly the same. But we've got this hold up. The Prime Minister is hunkering down and out of spite and personal pride, refusing to lift these unjustified and unscientific restrictions. If he would only do so, then the truckers could get back to work and the other protesters could go back to their lives and everything in Canada would get back up on its feet and we could get back to working on giving people control of their lives.
You know, it's a funny thing. The Canadian truckers are not against vaccinations. Not at all. They're against forced vaccinations. They're against vaccine mandates. They're against the mandates. They're not against science. They're not against medicine. These people are not Nazis. These people just want their freedom back. And I don't know about you, but I can certainly identify with that. All they want is their freedom back. And Justin Trudeau has no intention of giving them that freedom, so they're going to take it. AP News reports the Ontario declares an emergency over truck blockades in Canada. Ontario's premier declared a state of emergency in Friday, that's today, in reaction to the truck blockades in Ottawa and at the U.S. border, and said he will urgently press for new legislation cracking down on those who interfere with the free flow of goods and people. Since Monday, scores of truck drivers protesting Canada's COVID-19 restrictions and railing against Prime Minister Justin Trudeau have bottled up the Ambassador Bridge connecting Windsor, that's in Canada, to Detroit, that is in America. And hundreds of others have paralyzed downtown Ottawa over the past 2 weeks. Premier Doug Ford said he will convene the provincial cabinet on Saturday to enact orders that make it crystal clear that it is illegal to block critical infrastructure. We are now 2 weeks into the siege of Ottawa, Ford said. It is an illegal occupation. It is no longer a protest. Man, oh man. My, how the times change. Why, it was just 2020 when Black Lives Matter and Antifa raged around the world, and not just in America. Antifa and Black Lives Matter raged around the world. They shut down governments in France and England and Spain and Germany. They did all sorts of nasty stuff. And it was all around the world as they embarked on a 6-month-long legitimate campaign of terror. When the insurance companies were done calculating in America how much damage was caused by 6 months of riots and looting and murders and rapes and burning buildings, the insurance board in America declared those 6 months during the summer of 2020, going into the fall, they declared that Black Lives Matter and Antifa protests were the most destructive and costliest riots in American history. And that is saying something. America has a history of public demonstrations and riots and protests. Some of them good, some of them bad. But nobody had anything to say back in 2020 when Black Lives Matter was burning down buildings, destroying black-owned businesses and women-owned businesses and minority-owned businesses. Nobody had a problem with that. Why is that? Nobody had a problem with that at all. They said it was it was right and it was just. And they said that it was not going to stop. And in fact, it should not stop. You know who said that? Vice President Kamala Harris said back in June of 2020 that she supported the riots. And when she made this statement that I'm about to play for you, people had already died. People had already been murdered. Women had already been raped. And tens of millions of dollars in damages to minority-owned businesses had already been in the headlines when your Vice President, Kamala Harris, said this with a smile on her face.
Clear that I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had for the first few weeks.
That's right. But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And this is a movement, I'm telling you. They're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. It is going to, they're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels. That this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not. And we should not.
So that's what Vice President Kamala Harris had to say about deadly riots that were taking place in cities all across America for a 6-month period with no break and with no let up. These people were burning, looting, raping, destroying, terrorizing. These were far left radical socialist, communist, Marxists. And the Vice President of the United States said that it was a good thing, that it wasn't going to stop, and she went so far, as you heard in that clip, to imply that if you wanted it to stop, then you were the problem, not the riots, not the murders, not the burning, not the looting. That was then, and this is now. Now we have the Freedom Convoy, which is spreading to other areas. The Freedom Convoy is getting ready to pop up in France. And in fact, according again to the AP, here's an article dated 2 hours ago. French Freedom Convoy's protesting virus rules move towards Paris. Protesters angry over pandemic restrictions drove toward Paris in scattered convoys of camper vans, cars, and trucks on Friday in an effort to blockade the French capital despite a police ban. From the Mediterranean coast to the northern city of Lille, the protesters organized their freedom convoys online, galvanized in part, shout out to the truckers in Canada, who have blockaded Canada's capital and block border crossings. The French action has no single leader or goal and comes as months of protests against French government vaccination rules have been waning. Well, the AP got it wrong. The Freedom Convoy in Canada may have no single leader, but they do have a goal. They only want one thing. They want an end to the COVID-19 restrictions. They want an end to the COVID-19 mandates. To me, that's a very, very, very reasonable request. Take a listen to what Brian Kilmeade said on Fox News. And he says that the Freedom Convoy in just a few weeks will be crossing the border into the United States. Take a listen.
Now, the time we've been waiting for, Fox and Friends co-host, cue the fog machine and strobe lights. Brian Kilmeade is here, the man who never sleeps so we can. Listen, Brian, I just wanted to pick up on what Molly was saying about the Canadian truckers. If you watch mainstream media, they're calling these folks, you know, it's an insurrection. MSNBC called it a cult-like response. They just don't get it. This is a call for freedom, and as Molly reported, it's starting to be picked up around the world.
Actually, I don't have to tell you that you calling truckers cults is laughable. And for them not to realize that that is an audience that they want to watch their network, and by insulting them, they will do it for sure, is insane. What we watched is truckers, and we covered this from the beginning, as did you. The truckers came in because they didn't want to have mandatory vaccinations. And as they rung Ottawa to submit their message across, their cowardice prime minister said, well, I've been contact traced. I have to leave. He leaves, calls them fringe. Then he says he tests positive. And then the people come out and go, you know, I hate my life for the last 2 years. I have no idea why I can't go out at night. I have no idea why I can't play sports, go to school. I have no idea why I don't have a say in that my kids wearing masks. And they rung around the truckers. And I have news for you, America. They're coming our way. They've already blocked one major bridge that has 20% of all the commerce. And they might be heading to the Super Bowl. They're already organizing for a March 1st move from Oregon over to Washington, D.C. People want their lives back. What don't they understand about that?
Well, that's a good question. And here in the U.S., we are seeing more states, even Democrat states, finally relinquish those mandates, not so much for the school kids, but the Biden administration also continues to put out very confusing message. But I think with the midterms around the corner, the Democrats are saying, you know what? I'm starting to hear what they're saying, finally, and starting to release some of these mandates.
But like looking inside the nine, as we started today, that said we're loosening up the nine blue states, Washington, Oregon, Rhode Island, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Illinois, and Delaware. I just look inside what they're saying. For example, Rhode Island, I salute you. End of school mask mandates. Okay, it's great. Back to work. Washington, you've just waived outdoor mask mandates. We never should have been wearing a mask outdoors. And also in Massachusetts, great job. The rest has a long way to go because they leave kids last. And I just go back to this. It's not Brian Kilmeade. Actually, it's not you saying this. Dr. Scott Gottlieb, very respected. He says cloth masks aren't going to provide protection. This is an airborne illness. We now understand that. A cloth mask is not going to protect you from a virus. So not only are we not debating whether we should do it or not, what we're debating doesn't work anyway. Natural immunity does. Hopkins put that out. And we also know, on top of that, that everything we did before was not effective in stopping deaths in this country. We have immune from Omicron. Exactly. We've been exposed. Can we have our lives back? This is the last time we're asking.
Time to get back to normal. By the way, talking to the president, I think Real Clear Politics put together an accumulation of polls, and it suggests that his approval rating now has dropped below 40%.
I think it's a couple of things. I mean, the inflation number that you guys jumped on we all jumped on at 8:30 today. Now, look, everyone loved the jobs numbers. We were shocked. They were how great they were. That's fantastic. I love the 3.9% unemployment. But if you ask the average American, they don't look at the stock market. They look at the price of things and where are things. We don't see things on the shelves. We think it takes so long. Also, a lot of times you don't have to be rich to want a new car or a new used car. Can't get it. Or it's over sticker price. So you look around and say, what's going on? Well, we spent a lot, the $1.9 trillion we didn't need, and now he wants to spend more. Mm-hmm. He actually said if we had spent more of the Build Back Better, we wouldn't have had inflation. That's an insult to all of our intelligence. No one buys that. And they look and they see him just behind the wheel, not behind the wheel, reacting to things. And, and I don't think people feel too secure right now.
Behind the wheel and perhaps nodding off. But before, I would be remiss if I don't mention, Brian, your new show.
So there you have Brian Kilmeade on Fox News, and he's talking about the Freedom Convoy up in Canada, and that convoy is coming our way, and it should. That convoy needs to pop up in every major city, in every country around the world. That's the only way that you can get even just a piece of your freedoms back. In that clip, you heard them talking about the confusing messaging put out by people representing the Biden administration. Well, take a listen to the evolving and confusing messaging of Dr. Leanna Wen, and she's one of those Democratic physicians, and she's always popping up on Washington Post and Huffington Post and MSNBC and CNN, and always pushing the Democratic talking points. You want to talk about something that's a confusing message? Take a listen to this.
There was a and is a time and place for pandemic restrictions. In this case, circumstances have changed. Case counts are declining. Also, the science has changed.
Should there be a federal mask mandate?
Yeah, at this point, there absolutely should be that mandate, because we know that if all of us wear masks, we reduce the chance of transmitting or acquiring COVID-19 by 5 times. There is a real danger when we politicize science. That public trust is broken when we are politicizing science instead of following scientific process. My kids are not eligible to be vaccinated. It's not that I don't want them to be vaccinated. It's that they can't be. And I do really worry.
I mean, I have an almost 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. I cannot wait until they're eligible to receive the vaccine. I think until then, mask wearing for kids, especially if we are living in high transmission areas, is still going to be important.
And what we really need to do at this point is to make vaccination the easy choice. It needs to be hard for people to remain unvaccinated.
I mean, we wouldn't imagine bringing together 20, 30 unvaccinated adults, putting them in a single room together the entire day and have them not wear masks. Why would we say that that's okay for our children? Travel and having the right to travel interstate, it's not a constitutional right as far as I know to board a plane. And so saying that if you want to stay unvaccinated, that's your choice. But if you want to travel, you better go get that vaccine. I agree that masks are a very powerful layer of protection, but it's one layer. And if we have so many other layers that are present, masking may be one that could go away. But we are nowhere near that yet, and I think what we really need to do is get the vaccines authorized for children as soon as that's possible. There is no evidence whatsoever for any other vaccine causing long-term consequences. We really should be a lot more worried about the virus and the short-term as well as long-term consequences on our children as opposed to the vaccine. Make sure that you're wearing a mask, even though it's outdoors, if there are lots of people packed around you, wearing a 3-ply surgical mask. Don't wear a cloth mask. Cloth masks are little more than facial decoration.
There actually is a harm that we should be discussing of children continuing to mask. We should also be intellectually honest and say that masking has had a cost, especially for the youngest learners, so the risk-benefit calculation has really changed.
I'm the mom of 2 little kids under 5. I can't wait until they are vaccinated, but I would wait until we find that the vaccines are safe and effective. And I'm not sure that we can say that at the moment because we just don't have the data.
Oh,
but I also think that
man.
Other parents would want to wait until we know that 3 doses will produce the intended effect.
I'm not saying, I don't think anyone really is saying that no one should ever wear masks, but rather that the responsibility should shift from a government mandate imposed from the state or the local district or the school. Rather, it should shift to an individual responsibility by the family.
And there you have it. She can't wait until her kids are old enough to be vaccinated, but wait a second. My kids can't be vaccinated for medical reasons, but I'm excited to see your kids get vaccinated. And, you know, we all got to put those masks on, but cloth masks don't work. And liar, liar, pants on fire.
But I have a couple questions I want to ask you, because
sure.
You know the pandemic is a big concern for everyone, really,
sure,
around the
sure.
world, especially around America. New cases are up three times. Since last month, right? The pandemic is a big concern. Hospitalizations, death, rising. So you said last month that that the virus is in retreat. Do you still feel that way? Is that
well, it's real simple. We have a pandemic for those who haven't gotten a vaccination.
Uh-huh.
It's that basic, that simple. 10,000 people have recently died. 9,950 of them thereabouts.
He just made
are
it
people
up.
Who hadn't been vaccinated.
Uh-huh.
It's a simple, basic proposition. If you're vaccinated,
here it comes.
You're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die. So it's gigantically important that you act like we all act like Americans or care about our fellow Americans. To get there's legitimate questions people can ask. That they worry about getting vaccinated.
The confusing messaging of the Biden administration is, well, it would be laughable if it wasn't so sad, if it didn't so greatly impact other people's lives. And now we're starting to see a literal avalanche of deaths and adverse reactions to the COVID-19 vaccine. The CDC VAERS website reports as of January 28th, 23,149 deaths directly related and linked to the COVID-19 vaccine. 23,149 deaths on a site that is underreported by a factor of 40. I don't know what 40 times 23,149 is, but it's really close to 900,000 and something. And that's a million people. So there's nothing funny about that. There's nothing funny about people losing their jobs from vaccine mandates. I read a story a couple of days ago about a father who has lost custody of his child because the father will not take the COVID-19 vaccine. I mean, you want to have riots in the streets. You want to have freedom convoys. You just keep doing stuff like that, and the people will riot in the streets. The people will only take it for so long, and then they're going to push back. And that's exactly where we find ourselves now. The people, they don't want to take it anymore, and they're pushing back.
Civil disobedience is a time-honored tradition in our country, from slavery to civil rights to you name it. Peaceful protest, clog things up, make people think about the mandates.
Dr. Paul, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Glad to be with you.
So last week when you were at Big Board, a D.C. bar shut down by the government for defying the vaccine mandate, you talked a little bit about civil disobedience and civil resistance. Do you believe that vaccine mandates are legitimate?
No, I don't. I think a private business would make these own decisions and customers would make their own. So if you're overly cautious and let's say you just think everybody should be vaccinated and you're not going to go anywhere, you could not go anywhere at all. That's one choice. Stay home. Or you could go to bars that require vaccine passports. Or if you've already had the disease and been vaccinated 14 times, maybe you just go wherever the heck you want. And so people would make their decisions. And if it were unpopular not to have a vaccine passport, he wouldn't be successful. But the government shouldn't be in the business of this. Really, even people who've been for the mandates, like the head of Israel's vaccine program, pro-vaccine, pro-mandate, he said there's no longer a reason to have vaccine passports because it doesn't stop transmission anymore. It probably still helps to protect your health if you take it, if you're at risk, and but it doesn't really stop transmission. People are getting it. If you've been vaccinated, you can get it as easy as if you've been unvaccinated.
So as a doctor yourself, what do you make of mandates for healthcare professionals?
You know, I find them even more repulsive. The thing is that most of the doctors and nurses worked throughout COVID for over a year with no vaccine. No vaccine available. Many of them got COVID. Some of them died, but many of them survived COVID. So the thing is it should be incumbent upon the people who want to do the mandate to prove that they need to be vaccinated. It turns out that 2 weeks ago, the CDC released a study of 1 million people. They found that if you've been vaccinated versus unvaccinated, that you're 20 times less likely to go to the hospital. That's good. But if you've been infected, like me, but not vaccinated, like me, you're 55 times less likely to go to the hospital than someone who hasn't been infected.
So there you have Rand Paul talking about natural immunity is 2.5 times or 250% more effective than getting the mRNA sacrament of vaccination via your government injection. And that was a study that was done with over 1 million people in that study. Natural, God-given immunity. Your immune system is 250% stronger than anything that vaccine can give you. And It's completely free of any and all side effects. This just came across my desk. It is official. Ontario declares a state of emergency in response to convoy protests. This is breaking news happening right now. So they have done it. They have gone ahead, and it says Ontario officials are turning to the courts to squash the protesters and to thwart the spread of the demonstrations. So, obviously, the left does not like protests, even when they're nonviolent, even when they're only protesting against something like vaccination mandates. The radical left does not like freedom. They like their freedom, but they don't like your freedom. Which is why when Joe Biden was trying to get his employer vaccination mandate for private companies passed, he excluded in any mandate members of Congress, members of the Senate, and people who work for them. One of the signs that you're living in a dictatorship or a wannabe dictatorship is when the people at the top are passing laws and rules and regulations that they do not have to follow. That is a sure sign that you have dictators reigning over you when they are putting regulations in place that affect you, but it doesn't affect them. So, in Ontario, Canada, they are now taking steps to squash the convoy. And do you know what happens when you try to squash legitimate peaceful protest? It gets bigger. It gets stronger. It gets more intense. So you can look to see in the coming days in Canada and around the world, you are going to see these protests. They're not going to go away. And here's a funny thing. Here's a fun fact. In 2020, when all those Antifa and Black Lives Matter looters and murderers and those violent criminals were doing their $2 billion worth of damage in America, and who knows how much around the world, it didn't cost them anything. These people didn't have jobs. These people were not hardworking and industrious people. They're far-left agitators is what they are. But that's not the case with the Freedom Convoy up in Canada. In the Freedom Convoy up in Canada, those are hard-working men and women that drive a truck for a living. And every single day that those trucks are not moving and blocking the streets, you know who gets hurt most of all from the Freedom Convoy? The truckers. Because every day that goes by, they are not making money. So this protest, this is how you can tell the difference between legitimate protest and illegitimate protest. Legitimate protest costs you something. And these truckers are not only shutting down the streets in Canada, they are sacrificing their own financial livelihood at the same time. I put my money on those people. Take a listen to Tucker talking about how King Turdo, Justin Trudeau, is attacking human rights.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. When Democratic politicians across this country all of a sudden started to pull back their mask mandates, they did it virtually overnight, and of course they did it in unison, we naturally assumed that new polling had to be behind it. Someone at the DNC must have seen terrifying public opinion numbers and decided to abandon Project Quarantine before the midterm elections. That made sense to us. We explained that theory in the show last night. We still think it's probably pretty true. But it's also clear, as of tonight, that there is another explanation for this. Democrats in this country are looking north to their friends in the ruling party of Canada, and what they see there scares them. Canada's working class has finally rebelled after years of relentless abuse. Truck drivers are threatening to topple Justin Trudeau's creepy little government with their big rigs. And they may succeed, actually. The protests against Justin Trudeau's vaccine mandates have been far more effective than anyone in charge imagined. For Democrats in the United States, that's a pretty obvious lesson. Over the past 48 hours, Canadian truckers have blocked the major trade routes between their country and ours. Last night, farmers driving heavy agricultural equipment shut down the highways at the Manitoba border with the United States. You're seeing footage now from the town of Emerson, Manitoba. 1,100 miles away, a similar scene on the border of Ontario in the United States. Green tractors with Canadian flags lining the highway in protest. But the most meaningful blockade of all is taking place right now on the Ambassador Bridge. That's the privately owned span that connects Detroit to Windsor, Ontario. If you live in the upper Midwest, you know it well. A quarter of all the trade between the United States and Canada, one another's biggest trading partners, that's billions of dollars, comes across that bridge. And as Fox's Molly Line is reporting from Ottawa, that bridge is now completely shut down.
We're Canadian, and we want to be free Canadians.
Increasing concerns spreading through Canada and now the U.S. as the Freedom Convoy threatens trade along the border. Truckers blocking traffic at the Ambassador Bridge connecting Detroit and Ontario. A second crossing linking Alberta and Montana also shut down by protesters calling for an end to all COVID restrictions and vaccine mandates.
We want freedom, freedom of all mandates, and that's what we're fighting for.
The Ambassador Bridge is the busiest international crossing in North America, carrying 25% of all trade between Canada and the U.S.
We want freedom, the truckers are saying, freedom from mandates. It's a very straightforward ask, but so far the truckers don't have that freedom, and so their blockade continues. So far, that blockade has forced the Ford Motor Company to shut down one of its manufacturing plants and to operate another plant with a skeleton crew. Toyota says it won't be able to manufacture vehicles in Ontario for the rest of the week. General Motors has canceled multiple shifts at its plant in Lansing, Michigan, due to parts shortages. So this protest is less than a week old, and already it is causing deep pain to at least one global industry. It's hard to overstate the historical significance of what we're watching right here. The Canadian trucker convoy is the single most successful human rights protest in a generation. If nothing else, it has been a very useful reminder to our entitled ruling class that working class men can be pushed, but only so far. When they push back, it hurts. It turns out that truck drivers are more important to a country's future than, say, diversity consultants or even MSNBC contributors. Who knew? The White House has no interest in knowing. According to the Associated Press tonight, the Biden administration is, quote, urging the Trudeau government to, quote, use its federal powers to stop this protest, to end the truckers' protest. In other words, crush them by force. Politico is reporting that Biden officials are coordinating with Canadian authorities to, quote, establish alternate traffic routes around the protesters. That's Scranton Joe, the pro-union guy, shutting down a labor action. Pete Buttigieg is the completely incompetent transportation secretary in this country. Apparently, he's in charge of this effort. What Mayor Pete does not realize is it's not so easy. Truck drivers know a lot more about roads than McKinsey consultants do. An alternative border crossing in Alberta, for example, has already been totally shut down. They thought of that already, Mayor Pete. The Blue Water Bridge, which connects Ontario to Port Huron, Michigan, has been reporting delays tonight of nearly 5 hours. Now, there is an obvious way to fix this problem. Matthew Maroon, who's the owner of the Ambassador Bridge into Michigan, just spelled it out for Justin Trudeau, who's not terribly bright. End the vaccine mandates and the bridge reopens. It's not hard. But Justin Trudeau won't. And he's decided he doesn't have to, because the truckers, as he's explained, have no legitimate complaint. They're racists, so we're not required to listen to them. Here is Trudeau in the Canadian Parliament on Monday.
The people of Ottawa don't deserve to be harassed in their own neighborhoods. They don't deserve to be confronted with the inherent violence of a swastika flying on a street corner or a Confederate flag. Or the insults and jeers just because they're wearing a mask. That's not who Canada, who Canadians are.
Oh, so they're not even really Canadians. They're Nazis. So you don't have to hear anything they say. They don't even belong here. Maybe we'll intern them or expel them.
So that's how the left views people who don't want to be locked down with their unscientific, non-medical, unreasonable, and illegal vaccine and passport mandates. Suddenly, they become Nazis waving swastikas. None of those truck drivers are waving swastikas. None of those truck drivers are anti-Semitic. None of those truck drivers are waving a Confederate flag, and they're not calling for violence. They are calling on their government to do the right thing and to stop vaccination mandates. And government doesn't want to do it. So the Biden administration today is working with the Canadian government, and they have encouraged Ontario to declare a state of emergency, which they have now done. And they're going to do their very best to squash the Freedom Convoy. So what does it mean when they declare a state of emergency? It means that the police can just start indiscriminately arresting people. It means that they can put you in jail until they feel like letting you out, because it's a state of emergency. And during this time, your civil rights and whatever constitutional rights that are afforded you under the Canadian Constitution, during a state of emergency, your rights are suspended, just like they have been for the past 697 days of 15 days to flatten the curve. And we have seen the suspension of human freedoms and human rights in the name of science. But it has nothing to do with science. It has nothing to do with medicine. Everything that they told us about the vaccines has been wrong so far. They have 100% record of telling you the wrong thing about the vaccines. They told you that if you were vaccinated, you couldn't catch COVID. That was a lie. Then they told you that if you were vaccinated but you caught COVID, you wouldn't be seriously ill. That was a lie. And then they told you if you were vaccinated and you caught COVID and you got seriously ill, you wouldn't be hospitalized. That was a lie. And then they told you if you did all those things, at least you wouldn't die from COVID. And that was a lie as well.
Trudeau state broadcasters had been repeating these lies over and over and over again for maximum effect. Pravda parroting Brezhnev. That's what they do. What's striking, however, is that the media in our country claim to be independent, but they've been doing the very same thing. Watch.
Some of the organizers of this protest, which, as I mentioned, started more than a week ago, they do want to overthrow the government.
Canadian officials calling the situation a, quote, nationwide insurrection.
The police chief says COVID protests are a, quote, nationwide insurrection driven by madness.
A nationwide insurrection driven by madness.
And just think of the language. I know it sounds familiar to you, right? A threat to democracy, an insurrection, sedition.
The police say that they are under-resourced and they are overwhelmed. They have said that this city is under siege.
It's not just truckers. There's a lot of, I've heard there's QAnon supporters in the crowd.
Residents that I have spoken to who say they feel terrorized, intimidated.
It's a cult.
There are QAnon supporters in the crowd. It's a cult. They're Nazis and they're crazy. Insurrectionists on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Imagine. Now, they're using these smears because typically they work. Just dismiss these people. Don't listen to them. They didn't go to college. But what Justin Trudeau apparently didn't count on is that a handful of independent journalists are committing journalism inside Canada. And a free press works. That's why we have it. Or did. So instead of repeating state-mandated talking points like their journalists do and the morons in our press corps do, these independent reporters have been broadcasting hours-long interviews with the truckers themselves in their cabs, totally unfiltered, so you can decide what you think. You can actually make your own judgment about reality. So you watch these streams for just a few minutes, and you realize that these truckers, whatever their faults may be, are far less odious and much harder working than the journalists and the politicians who call them Nazis. Here's one 24-year-old protester who saved up and bought his own truck. He's an owner-operator now. He's losing hundreds of dollars every day because he's no longer working, but he says it's worth it because he's more concerned about human rights than about his own paycheck. You decide.
I agree with the freedom of choice. So if you want to wear a diaper over your face, hey, go ahead. You know, you can wear a face diaper if you want, but why should I? Because of your fear, I got to wear that garbage on my face, you know. I've been doing that for 2 years. They said 2 weeks, but it's turned into 2 years, so enough is enough.
Yeah, the voice of the working man there. You know how we know he's a Nazi? Because he used the word freedom. Now, that footage, of course, was not shot by the CBC, which is Canadian state media, the most dishonest of all. It was from a live stream on the YouTube channel Zot. It was filmed just after midnight.
So there you have Tucker telling you the truth about what's going on up in Canada. And we're going to be keeping an eye on this state of emergency that has now been declared in Ontario. And if you are a listener in the nation of Canada and you have some inside information about what's going on, please send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com and let us know what's happening up there in Canada as this state of emergency begins to spread. And we want to tell the world all about it, and we certainly will. So just send us an email if you have any inside information. If you live in Ontario and you know what's going on because you hear it from your neighbors or you see it happening down the street, please let us know, and I'll be very, very happy to report on that. The UK Daily Mail is reporting today, Deltacron is real after all. Health chiefs are now officially keeping tabs on a variant that's a merger of Omicron and its predecessor, Delta. Isn't it so funny how every time a variant begins to weaken and wind down, that magically a new variant pops up to take its place? How come they don't pop up at the same time? And whatever happened to the flu? Huh. Health chiefs are now officially keeping tabs on a COVID variant that is a hybrid of the Omicron and the Delta strains and has been spotted in the United Kingdom. The super mutant Deltacron is thought to have evolved in a patient who caught both variants at the same time, but it is not clear if it was imported or originated in Britain. UK health officials also don't know how infectious or severe the newly evolved virus is or whether it will impact vaccine performance. So you can add that to your list of things to worry about and obsess over. They're calling it Deltacron. And it's a thing. And it is now making its way around the United Kingdom. Let's see how fast it gets to the rest of the world, and let's see what they do with this. Is it just going to be localized where it is, or is it going to be around the world?
We're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky?
Curfew is now in effect. All unauthorized citizens must stay indoors.
Singing don't worry.
Tensions rise as we enter the 213th week of lockdown.
A grim new reality emerges.
COVID-23 has mutated.
Beginning thermal scan. Thermal scan normal.
A horrifying new development
new
today.
Confirms the virus attacks the brain tissue.
Hey, whoa, I'm immune!
He was.
I think about my dad growing up, I certainly think about that seriousness. But very few people get to see him. He's funny, weird, and really playful.
God help us.
In 1981, HIV/AIDS was evolving rapidly and frighteningly. There was anger at the government's response.
When you got sick, you were gone fast.
Affecting you now.
Yeah.
Why?
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
When COVID hit, he became this target.
My dad said, we're going to get through this whole thing. And he held that.
You don't do it because you want to make money. You don't do it for the glory. You do it because you care.
When you're involved in a race to stop a horrible disease, you always feel you're not doing things quickly enough.
Till the dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose?
They're making our food out of people. Next thing they'll be breeding us like cattle for food. You gotta tell them. You gotta tell them.
Promise, Tiger. I promise. I'll tell the exchange.
You tell everybody.
Listen to me, Hatcher. You gotta tell them. Silent Breed is people. We've gotta stop them somehow.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Wait for it. It's not done. You know it's not done.
Remember, stay safe, sane, and sanitized.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? Just a reminder that this Sunday, we're not celebrating Valentine's Day, but we are celebrating the day that comes before Valentine's Day. That's February 13th, 2/13/2022. And just a reminder that we are going to have our biggest sale ever at the NTEB bookstore. And it's going to start midnight on Saturday. And it's going to last for 24 hours. So if you've been waiting to get Bibles, commentaries, books, gifts, accessories, we have 60 different items that Miranda has put on sale at the bookstore. And if you've been waiting for a time to get books, to get Ruckman commentaries, Dispensational Truth, Genesis 6 Giants, well, then you're going to love our Titus 2:13 sale day event that is going to start at midnight on Saturday night. And it's going to go all day, all night, Sunday, February 13th. And it's going to be the biggest sale that we ever had. And it's going to be a sale on our best-selling items. So we put the good stuff on sale, not the stuff that we're trying to get rid of. But we really don't have stuff that we're trying to get rid of, because everything that we have at the bookstore has been handpicked and prayed over and thought about for a long time. because we want you to be able to put the books in your hands that will bring you closer to a deeper understanding of God's preserved word. And of course, we sell the King James Authorized Version Holy Bible in about 10 different varieties, shapes, and sizes. My favorite is the Ruckman Reference Bible that I've been using for the last 11 years. But we do have multiple flavors of the King James Bible. So we invite you to go to BibleBeliever.com starting midnight tomorrow night for our Titus 2:13, February 13th, all-day sale event at the Bible Believers bookstore. And you'll be very, very glad that you did. So we're talking about the Freedom Convoy, and we're talking about the suppression of human rights and human dignities. We're talking about non-scientific and unscientific vaccine mandates. Remember all those signs, please stand 6 feet apart from each other? Nobody knows where that came from. Nobody knows who came up with that. They traced something like that to an 18th century doctor with no understanding of pathology or how germs actually work, who thought that people, when they were sick, should be at least 6 feet apart from each other. But that was before that we understood scientifically and medically that germs and particles are coming out of your nose and your mouth every time you talk. And the human sneeze can travel up to 30 feet. So standing 6 feet apart from each other really isn't going to do very much for you. But it's a great way to control people. It's a great way to instill fear in people. And speaking of instilling fear in people, Bill Gates is talking about his new book that he has coming out, where he calls for a global pathogen surveillance system combined with forever mRNA government injections. And that book is coming out on May 3rd. Bill Gates wants you to make peace with the fact that you're going to have bi-yearly or yearly mRNA government injections in order to stop the next pandemic. So you have to understand that they know that they can't keep up this level of fear indefinitely. Because as we see from the Freedom Convoy, people push back. And people won't take that forever. But you see, the New World Order is very, very smart. And that's why I said at the start of this program, I love the Freedom Convoy. And I am praying for street preachers up in Canada who are going to use this time, this blockade time, to witness and evangelize and hand out gospel tracts. And I hope that the convoy comes to America. I would love to see it. They're not going to come to Florida because we're free in Florida. There's nothing to protest in Florida. If you were planning on bringing the Freedom Convoy to Florida, the main reason why you would be doing that is to go meet with Governor Ron DeSantis and give him a hug and shake his hand and say thank you. That's the only reason why the Freedom Convoy would come to Florida, to thank DeSantis. But I hope the Freedom Convoy comes to Washington, D.C. And maybe if they do, maybe I'll drive up there and hand out gospel tracts and preach while they do it. And maybe some of you will join me. But the thing you have to understand about all of this from an end times Bible prophecy perspective is that the New World Order is not going to be stopped. You know what Jesus says? when they came for him in the garden, Jesus looked at them and he said, in Matthew 26, nope, that's not it. Oh, where is it? Hold on a second. This is what Jesus said when they came for him in the garden. Luke 22:53. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. There was a day that was appointed by God where he would allow them to get his only begotten son and to bring him before sinful man and sinful men and allow him to be arrested, mocked, beaten, humiliated, crucified, and then raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. Isaiah 53 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He is despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So, one thing that you need to understand when you're looking at things like the Freedom Convoy, God appointed an hour and a day and a time for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. And Jesus said, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. That was their time. And when Antichrist comes on the scene, he's going to have more than an hour. He's going to have 7 years. It's going to be a limited time, but he's going to get his time. And I love the Freedom Convoy, and I pray it continues. I pray that it shows up in front of every government on the face of the earth that is trying to impose non-medical, unscientific, totalitarian, authoritarian, dictatorial, unjust vaccine mandates upon people. But the Freedom Convoy ultimately is not going to, pardon the expression, they're not going to trump the New World Order, because Jesus says, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. And you have to understand that God has appointed this time. Somebody said earlier today on the website that Jesus is restraining Antichrist so that people get saved. And I don't know if the Bible teaches that. When I read the Bible in Revelation chapter 6, I see that it is Jesus Christ who opens up the first seal, and he allows Antichrist to come on the scene. That's what I see. I see when Jesus opens that first seal, he lets Judas come out of his own place and goes into the body of somebody like Emmanuel Macron, or Mohammed bin Zayed, or Jared Kushner, or Nikolai from Left Behind. But it's not like Jesus Christ is battling the devil. God is using the devil as the rod of his judgment. That's something that most preachers don't preach about. It is not a battle between God and the devil. That would be like a professional mixed martial artist battling against a kindergarten kid. There is no battle between God and the devil. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, O Assyrian, talking about the Antichrist. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, Israel, and against the people of my wrath, the Jewish people, will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. And then when I go to the New Testament and I go to Luke 21 and I see what that battle looks like, Luke 21:20, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. And I submit to you, as I have for the past 697 days, of 15 days to flatten the curve, and even well before that, we are seeing the fulfillment of end times Bible prophecy, and it is coming true before our very eyes. Jesus said to the men that were coming for him, "But this is your hour and the power of darkness." They were appointed a time to do what they had to do. When the spirit of Satan entered into Judas, the betrayer, at the Last Supper, Jesus turned to him and said, "What thou doest, do quickly." Judas was appointed a time, and he was unstoppable until the job that he was appointed to do was completed. When Antichrist comes on the scene, he will be unstoppable for a 7-year period, right up to the very moment that, like Adolf Hitler, he dies alone, with no armies, no soldiers, no generals, and no one to help him. The Bible says this about Antichrist. The Bible says in Daniel 11, starting in verse 40, Daniel 11:40, "And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land," that's Israel, "and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon," that's Selah Petra. Verse 42 says, "He shall stretch forth his hand upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasuries of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy, and utterly to make many away." And then I said all that to say this, Daniel 11:45 in your King James Bible. "And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas, the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." Do you realize that Adolf Hitler is a perfect type of Antichrist in 7 different particulars, minimum? And do you realize that Adolf Hitler rose to power in much the same way that Antichrist will rise to power? Do you realize that Adolf Hitler's Nazi Party ID card was 555, making him an absolute perfect type of Antichrist? Do you realize that when Adolf Hitler came to his end, that he was alone in his bunker, and nobody helped him. Adolf Hitler is a perfect type of Antichrist. And not just because he was mean or evil or a murderer. But go and read that article. Go to nowtheendbegins.com and do a search on Hitler. And you'll see this article, 7 Ways That Adolf Hitler Was the Perfect Type of the Coming Biblical Antichrist. In the Bible, the Antichrist is a military genius. And he holds himself in very high regard. That's how Hitler viewed himself. The Antichrist will receive worship as if he were the Messiah. In his book Mein Kampf, Adolf Hitler said that world peace cannot arrive until that day when the man superior to all others will have conquered and subjugated the world. Now we know that in the Bible, that's Revelation 19, and that man is Jesus Christ. But the counterfeit is Antichrist. And Hitler was a perfect type of Antichrist. The number of the beast is 666. And the number of Adolf Hitler was 555. It really doesn't get any clearer than that. And we saw during World War II, during the rise of Adolf Hitler, we saw very, very clearly what it's going to look like in the time of Jacob's trouble. And that day is almost upon us now. The church will be removed in something called the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And we praise God for that and we look forward to that. Titus 2:13 says, and looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Adam and Katie just put a praise report into the chat room. I think you're going to like this one. Adam and Katie say, praise report. I love a good praise report. Praise report, we had our second consecutive Bible study with our new believer friend Bobby. We were also able to put 2 of your Ruckman Reference Bibles into his hands to give to his sons. Thank you for all your prayers and amen. Please pray for his discipleship and salvation for his sons, Jace and Brennan. Amen. And Adam and Katie are thanking us. Well, they're actually thanking you. Well, they're actually thanking all of us here at Now the End Begins. Because of our free Bible and Gospel Tract program, that's what Adam is talking about. Because of our free Bible and Gospel Tract program, they have started a home Bible study. And we gave them Bibles to give out to people. And now people are starting to get saved. And now a man named Bobby has gotten saved and asking for prayers for his sons to get saved. And Adam and Katie were able to put into his hands free King James Bibles because you guys pray for our program and you guys donate to our program. So, if you're looking for a way to get involved, to really get something done that's going to make it through the judgment seat of Christ, we invite you to support our free Bible and Gospel Tract program. Last year we handed out 11,441 Bibles around the world, and we want to do much, much, much more than that this year. So please go to nowtheendbegins.com, click on the donate button. We want to see more home Bible studies springing up around the world. We want to see more street preachers handing out King James Bibles like Kyle and Reagan do out there in Baton Rouge, what people do in Canada, all across America, all across Europe. Please pray for and support our free Bible and gospel tract program. It only works because you support it. And the day that you stop supporting it is the day that the program stops. But I pray that that day never comes. And I pray that in 2022, the Lord tarries, that we will hand out more King James Bibles than ever. And thank you very, very much for your support. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. Please remember, starting midnight on Saturday night, we are having our Titus 2:13 Blessed Hope sale event. And you can go to the bookstore at BibleBeliever.com to check that out. And 20 to 40% off on our best-selling books and items. And I just pray that you'll go there, check it out, and that it will be a blessing to you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers around the world. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m. for the NTEB House Church Sunday service. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Someday you'll read in the newspapers that Moody is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was born of the spirit in 1855. That which is born of the flesh may die. That which is born of the spirit shall live forever.
Time.